This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
What does collusion in financial markets sound like? From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with a global perspective on business and the economy. Financial regulators from the U.S., Britain, and Switzerland today imposed penalties on five banks for letting their traders work to manipulate foreign exchange markets, pounds to dollars, euros to pounds, and so forth. The BBC's Jonathan Fruin has been reading through the transcripts of what regulators suggest is price fixing in action. Good morning, Jonathan.
Morning, David.
So we have some big names in the banking industry involved in this settlement. What do we have here? HSBC, we have JP Morgan Chase.
RBS, Citi, UBS, all fined roughly $600 million apiece, although UBS has faced a slightly higher fine because the Swiss authorities have gone after them as well.
We have Citigroup in here, but you know what I'm not seeing is Barclays.
Well, and that's interesting because they had been expected to announce fines on this occasion. Barclays said, after discussions with other regulators and authorities, we've concluded it's in the interests of the company to seek a more general coordinated settlement.
And what are the regulators saying about the information they've uncovered in this case?
The Commodity Futures Trading Commission, the US authorities looking at this, and the UK's Financial Conduct Authority, or FCA, was investigating for a long period of time. The FCA described tight-knit groups formed by traders at different banks using code names for clients, including the Three Musketeers, the A-Team. And I've got transcripts here of some of the chats that they found. Well done, gents. Hooray, nice teamwork. Have that, my son. Big time, mate. And one thing that I find startling is that these guys were using, apparently, Bloomberg chat rooms, which effectively just like using your office email. So they obviously were so brazen about it, they thought they just were doing nothing wrong and couldn't get caught.
The sound of price fixing in financial markets, allegedly. The BBC's Jonathan Fruin, thank you very much for this.
Thank you, David.
One big bank not named in that foreign exchange scandal is Goldman Sachs. Every 2 years, Goldman names its newest partners. Today is that day. Goldman Partner is one of the most coveted titles on Wall Street. And as Sally Herships reports, the title comes with perks.
There are raises, and then there's what happens if you make partner at Goldman Sachs. Mitch Peskin is a partner at ExecuSearch Group, a recruiting firm.
It literally becomes a huge compensation event and the ability to now participate in the Goldman Sachs partnership bonus pool.
Peskin says if the pool is large enough, partners can make millions. Goldman Sachs didn't respond to a request for information, but just the salary for a partner is estimated to be around $1 million.
If money is important to you, and I would say it is to most people that work on Wall Street, it's as good as it gets.
Then there's your reputation. Making partner means you've made it. And Goldman wants partners to feel that way. Dr. Michael Driscoll teaches finance at Adelphi University.
Because they want to keep the best and brightest. They don't want them going to private equity firms. They don't want them launching hedge funds on their own, possibly taking client contacts away from Goldman.
But Driscoll says the title can also be taken away. So partners need to stay on their toes. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
Now let's do the numbers. Stocks in London, the FT 100 is down 0.4%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down. Note that there's only hint about opening prices on Wall Street, and actual mileage may vary. The International Energy Agency has a new report today that warns the current boom in American shale oil hides other threats to the world supply of oil. The agency's worried about global demand outstripping supply over the next 25 years and an over-reliance on fewer producers. The shale oil boom has other byproducts and not just making the fossil fuel outlook seem rosier than it may be. Hydraulic fracturing, or fracking, uses fluid pumped into rock to liberate the oil and gas. But what do you do with all that used, yucky fluid? As Reed Frazier of the public radio program The Allegheny Front reports from Pennsylvania, innovators are looking for solutions.
Inside a big industrial building in Pittsburgh, Mike Broker shows off what he hopes is the next big thing in cleaning up the fracking business.
We have 3 8-foot diameter satellite dishes.
Broker is with Epiphany Solar Water Systems. His company uses these satellite dishes to clean up the briny wastewater that collects at hydraulically fractured oil and gas wells. This waste stream is toxic and it's hard to clean, at least not cheaply. The satellite dishes have a special coating that helps them absorb solar heat and evaporate clean water out of tanks of the salty waste. Broker says it's actually the same technology bootleggers use to make moonshine.
The same concept. It is distillation.
They make whiskey, but you guys make...
pure water.
Epiphany started a few years ago to treat drinking water in the developing world. But when the fracking boom came, the company sensed an opportunity. So did a lot of other companies. But it's been a difficult technology to master, and few have succeeded.
It's such low-quality water that the technologies crash and burn when they try to treat it.
Brent Giles is an analyst with Lux Research. He says the high salt content of fracking wastewater, it's up to 10 times saltier than the ocean, has tripped up companies trying to treat it. That much salt destroys equipment and clogs up filters. But Giles says it's not hard to see why they tried to get into the fracking waste business.
In the U.S., we see about $1 billion market.
And that market could grow to $9 billion by next decade. Right now, it's cheaper to recycle the waste or inject it underground. But underground disposal comes with its own issues, like earthquakes. Some in the fracking industry think regulation might make injection wells more expensive in the future. And if that happens, companies that can clean the water up could get a flood of new business. In Pittsburgh, I'm Reed Frazier for Marketplace.
And speaking of oil, crude is down another 0.7% this morning using the Texas price of $77.40 a barrel. That price is not concerned with the situation 25 years from now. It's a future price based on contracts for the 14th of just next month. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.